This podcast is sponsored by Runway, air traffic control for your mobile releases. Put your releases on autopilot. Runway will shepherd your release from kickoff to submission to release with no manual intervention. A single source of truth for your releases. Runway integrates with your favorite tools for a bird's eye view over release progress and blockers. Make your releases collaborative. Get a rich, contextualized release runbook that makes capturing responsibilities and tracking tasks crystal clear. Get more control on your releases on App Store and Play Store. Point your browser to runway.team. Thank you for sponsoring my podcast. I'm also revamping my newsletter. Check it out, appforce1.net to sign up. You can also find a sign-up link on my Twitter profile. Hi, and welcome to AppForce One episode 90. My name is Jeroen Leenaerts and I've been developing software for over 20 years, developing iOS apps for over 10 years, and I'm running the Dutch Cokeheads for over 9 years. If you're an iOS app developer, you should listen to my podcast because it will keep you updated on interesting articles, conferences and events you might not have heard about. In this episode, I'm going to talk about generating a man page for a Swift command line tool, introducing Mark Codable, exploring Swift UI redraw behavior with instruments, accessibility in Swift UI explained for UIKit developers, voiceover navigation improvements, tips for Swift UI apps, the Swift UI render loop, and how to build a configurable widget with WidgetKit and Swift UI. It is already 2 weeks since my previous episode, the one I did in the hotel room in Denver. It really feels like a distant memory already. So much stuff has happened again in the 2 weeks, and my son's bedroom furniture got delivered. He now has a pirate-themed bedroom, including a shark desk, a ship bed, or maybe a bed ship, and a treasure chest. I'm not jealous at his room at all. Nope, not at all. You can imagine we are now in a talk like a pirate day streak here at home. So last week my voice was quite bad. I had a weird cold that was not causing too much discomfort, except for my voice. It was raspy, and if I talked too much, I was coughing a lot. Not ideal for a podcast recording. So I decided to skip. I had plenty of other things to do anyway, like a conference. I'm super excited to announce that Do iOS on November 8 and 9 is now going to happen. So tickets are available, and we already have 6 speakers announced. Those 6 speakers are Antoine van der Lee, Donny Walls, Maxim Kramer, Daniele Vretsan, Tim Condon, and Rudran Kriam. And there's more awesomeness I know of, but I'm sharing that a little bit later. So the tickets, they run at €175 plus a few percent ticket handling. And as a hotel, the best option is the Student Hotel Amsterdam City. It should cost you about €150 a night. And it is right on top of the venue and has a nice subway connection allowing easy access from the airport and the city center. So please buy your tickets soon as possible, because each ticket sold allows us to invest right back into the conference. Our goal is to do an awesome event while staying net positive at all times. The Do iOS conference is organized by the non-profit Stichting Cokeheads, that's Cokeheads.nl for short, and while I'm currently running most of the things in the lead-up, it is actually an effort by Marco, Yolanda, Bart and me, who are involved behind the scenes. Especially during the conference days themselves, you will see a lot more of my peers within Cokeheads.nl. And another super exciting bit of information I can share is Swift Leads on October 20th. There are still some tickets available, I think. But Stefan and Paul, colleagues of mine at Stream, will also be there with me. So, hi Adam, I look forward to seeing you and all other people in attendance at Swift Leads soon. So, lots of things to check out. Most important is to go to do-ios.com for all information related to Do iOS. You can also follow the conference on Twitter. It has a very easy Twitter handle, iosconf. The first article of this week is a nice one about generating documentation for command line tools. It is by Marco Eidinger. The title of the piece is Generate a Man Page for Swift Command Line Tool. So this blog post will teach you how to generate a manual page for your Swift command line tool using Apple's Swift Argument Parser. Marco will also teach you how to ensure that the man page will be installed along your command line tool. The next article is by Marin Todorov. He created a neat Markdown library called Mark Codable. He wrote about it in a blog called Introducing Mark Codable. Mark Codable encodes codable values as Markdown text and decodes Markdown strings as Swift values. Markdown representation allows humans to easily edit values by hand using their favorite text editor on any operating system or in a web interface. So it's a sort of a database based on Markdown type thing.
Leonardo also has an interesting piece. It's titled Exploring SwiftUI Redraw Behavior with Instruments. He uses instruments to know how a simple app is evaluated by SwiftUI's view redraw. You will see at observe object will always invalidate the view if one of its properties are changed, even if the properties are not used in that specific view at all. So there's more in this article, so more of these little tidbits of information that are cool to know, and it is a neat exploration of some of the internals of how SwiftUI works. Next two articles are by Antoine van der Lee. He actually has two articles about accessibility in some way. First one is titled Accessibility in SwiftUI Explained for UIKit Developers. Adding accessibility support in SwiftUI will be more approachable for you compared to a UIKit. But still, if you've been sharpening UIKit skills for years, it takes a while to get your head around the new declarative reactive way of doing things in SwiftUI. It is an entirely different mental model and it takes some getting used to. You may have a good understanding of how to make UIKit apps accessible while still struggling to do the same in SwiftUI. And the article by Antoine van der Lee is there to help you make the transition from UIKit to SwiftUI when it comes to accessibility. The second article by Antoine is titled VoiceOver Navigation Improvement Tips for SwiftUI Apps. VoiceOver navigation support in your apps comes with the same requirements as navigating through touch controls. When navigating apps with standard touch controls, we tend to dislike apps that feel cluttered or make us do many interactions to achieve something. We'd probably say such an app does not offer a good user experience. The same principles apply when using VoiceOver and other assistive technologies, actually. You want to achieve your goals with a minimum number of interactions and you want the app to give you the necessary context consistently and cleanly as you need it. So read up on Antoine's article about VoiceOver navigation, get a good grasp of what you should do in VoiceOver in your apps if you want to support accessibility in your products. The next article is by Rens Breur. The SwiftUI render loop. Just like UIKit, SwiftUI is implemented on top of an event loop that dispatches messages to your UI code. The UI code in turn may trigger parts of the screen to be re-rendered. The handling of messages and rendering of graphics on screen form the render loop of an application. All UI frameworks are based on the render loop. In SwiftUI, it is hidden particularly well. Most of the time, it works under the hood without us needing to know anything about it. It is amazing how we can write UI code without even needing to understand what an event loop is. And without us needing to worry about how often to render screen content. But in some cases, it is useful to know what is happening behind the scenes. This is a really nice add-on to the earlier article by Leonardo, so enjoy and make sure that you combine the information that you learned from both articles to make up your own mind about your Swift UI render loop. The final article is by Natasha, how to build a configurable widget with WidgetKit and Swift UI. In this article, Natasha dives into widgets that display content depending on some user input, like their location, their preferences, or any other input that allows users to customize their widget. And that's it again for this week. If you have any feedback, please send me a message through Twitter. My DMs are always open. And don't forget, you can buy me a coffee. Link for that in the show notes. Now, go look at DoiOS and maybe get yourself a ticket.
Lead Developer, best practices and tips for lead software developers. PDF, MOBI and EPUB format. appforce1.net/lead developer. All one word.